to thank. In fact, if there's anyone here who is a veteran or a spouse of a veteran, would you please stand up? Stand up, Brother Larry. Stand up. If you're a veteran or a spouse of a veteran. Thank you very much for your service. Thank you very much. We need to remember not only those who gave their life that we might have our freedoms, but those who are here. And, you know, it is very important that we remember. The world is trying hard to get us to forget who we are as a nation, because who we are as a nation is who we are as a people, and who we are as a people are those who came to create a nation set upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And if the devil can get rid of Christianity in the United States, he can get rid of Christianity around much of the world, because the church in the United States, right, wrong, or indifferently, supports a lot of Christian works throughout the world. And we're here today with our freedoms because of those who paid the price. President Reagan had said, freedom is only one generation away from extinction. And we see that in our world today. So, parents, grandparents, you don't need to be told, but help your children and your grandchildren to understand the importance of this weekend. It's not just a long weekend. There really is a lot of history, a lot of God-given reasons to help the next generation remember what has been given to us. If you have your Bibles, obviously we don't have the overhead today, so hope you brought your Bibles. Turn to John chapter 19. We've been talking about some things that we need to learn while we're waiting and anticipating and getting ready for God to move. And the world around us seems like everything is at a turmoil. Have you noticed? Everything seems to be going wrong. They're trying to keep peace in the Middle East. That won't last very long. They're trying to keep peace in the cities of the United States. That ain't going to last at all. No. Everything seems to be turned upside down, and, you know, that's not really that unusual. No. In John chapter 19, excuse me, we find Jesus is on the cross. Now consider from the natural standpoint and everything that's going on here. Jesus has been at the height of his ministry. Things are going great. And all of a sudden, it seems like within a matter of 24 hours, the wheels come off the cart, so to speak, and everything is going wrong. One of his closest friends betrays him. He's turned over to the hands of those who despise him, not because he is an evil person, but because he makes them look bad, feel bad, and is a challenge to their political and religious authority and power. From there, he's turned over to a Roman government who really doesn't know what to do with him, and since they don't know what to do with him, they try just to make a scene out of him and beat him mercilessly, almost within an inch of death, so to speak. And whenever they cannot get him to where they can give him the pass, they follow the crowd and say, okay, we'll crucify him. And the devil's having a field day, because this is his fondest desire. This is that which he has been working on since the day Jesus was born, is how to get rid of this man, Jesus. And life is getting good. In fact, over in the book of Matthew, we're not going to look at it for sake of time, but in the book of Matthew, shortly before where we're going to be at, Satan witnesses Jesus crying out to God saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is music to the devil's ears. Oh, God has forsaken this man, Jesus, his only son, and he is turning his back. back on him. News cannot get better in the gates of hell than what they are going on right now. I mean, let's face it. Not only is Jesus being rejected by God, but he is becoming sin. Oh, this glorious Son of God is becoming sin. The devil is so gleeful. Everything is going well. And then something happens which we need to learn today. John chapter 19, verse 30. The middle of the verse. It is finished. Three simple words that strikes terror into the heart of Satan. It is finished. What do you mean finished? How can this be? Everything's going great. This is not a statement of mea culpa, so to speak, of surrender. This is not one who's dying saying, yes, I've failed. It's over. Although the very next thing that happens is he gives up his life. How can this be? What is it? What is it that is finished? Everything. It's finished. Now, to the natural man, it looked like it was truly finished. Oh, Peter, James, John, the disciples, Mary, his mother, Mary Magdalene, Nicodemus, Joseph, they all looked at him and said, he's dead. He's dead, and the Passover is soon coming. We have to get him buried, and it's over. In their term, in their mind, it's over. They did not see it was finished. There's a huge difference here. Satan understood in an instant, I messed up. I went right along in God's perfect plan. And I can see him in hell as he hears these words, it is finished. Looking around in disbelief, saying, what is finished? What has changed? The Son of Man has become sin. He's dead. God has rejected him. How can this be finished? And as this happens, the veil is torn. And he realizes it's the time of the evening sacrifice. The Passover lamb has taken the sin of the world. And so it's all hands on deck because there's only one thing that can happen now. We have to keep this man Jesus dead. See, Jesus said it is finished right as he gave up the ghost. Because he knew one thing. It was over. See, that which was the only thing weighing in the balance had been completed. Every prophecy concerning his life and his death had been fulfilled. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. He knew based off who he was, death wasn't going to hold him. Oh, we'll put it in terms like we can understand today. Oh, he had a little bit of paperwork to finish, but the job was done. See, the only thing that could really have changed anything was if he, at some point in time, made the decision, I'm not going to do this. But he came to that point where he had carried through, and whenever he could look and see that God had accepted the sacrifice, It's finished. Oh, it may not seem like it to the outward eye, but in the spiritual realm, it is finished. I want to remind you of something which is of utmost importance as we go forward. You are not a physical being with a spiritual person inside of you. What you are is a spiritual being inside of a body. There is a huge distinction there. If we are a physical body with a spirit man inside of it, then we are bound by that which is natural. If we are a spiritual being inside of a body, then the only thing that matters is what is spiritual. And if we are a spiritual being, then we can say, it is finished. I pause there for a second because I want you to let that sink in. If you are a spiritual being, it is finished. Now let's determine what the it is. Turn to Romans, if you would please, real quick. Chapter 8. Because this makes a world of difference, and we need to learn this. In Romans chapter 8, starting verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He has spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is finished if we are a spiritual being inside of a natural body. If we are a spiritual being inside of a natural body, it is finished that absolutely nothing can come against us. Because greater is he who is with us than he who is against us. Yes, as Paul said, we are not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. If we are that spiritual being who can rest in the assurance that it is finished. It is finished. The work has been done, not only for our salvation, but for everything that goes on in our life. And we do not have to look at anything that's coming in our life and say, I can't handle this, because we're more than conquerors. And there is nothing that's going to separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that can keep us from God intervening on our behalf. Why? Because it is finished. It is finished if we're that spiritual being. Now, if we're living in the natural and we're rejecting, not from the standpoint we don't accept it, but we're rejecting living in the spiritual realm first, the natural second, then these promises don't come to us. Because Paul tells us also in Romans that the things of the carnal life, of the natural, are not subject to the law of God. But the spiritual is. And so if we want the blessings and the faithfulness and the assurance that it is finished, we must first look at ourselves as spiritual beings in a natural body, which means that sometimes along the line, we're going to be called upon to say, hey, body, you don't get your way today. Hey, I'm sorry, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go there. We're not going to behave that way. We're not going to think that way. We're not going to do these things. Why? Because we don't have to, because we are subject to a greater law, and I'm not a natural person. I am a spiritual person, and you're coming along for the ride at the moment. That is why when someone's spirit leaves them, their body dies. We need to understand that, because it is finished. It's finished. The battle is over. Whenever I was a teenager, there was a song that came out. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it for you. You're welcome. The chorus went something like this. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. Now, the verses of that song said, you know, sometimes it seems like there's still people who are fighting battles. Oh, yeah, we're still here. We're going to fight the battles that come. But you know what? It's just taking care of the paperwork. It's taking care of what needs to happen in order for God's will to truly reign. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life today. I want you to understand one thing. You are more than conqueror through Christ Jesus, your Lord. It is finished. It can be relationship problems. It can be physical problems. It can be financial problems. It can be problems where you're worried about a loved one coming to know the Lord. It is finished. It is finished. We are more than conquerors, and we have the right, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can come between us and our access to God, who desires the absolute best for us without any regard to himself, so much that he became sin and died for us. Now he says, I'm not going to allow anything to separate me from you and you from me. And the things which need to be done in your life to fulfill my purpose in your life and to fulfill the purpose in other people's lives, as you allow me to, it is finished. Amen. The devil cannot stop you. We always look at it as, oh, you know, I've been suffering so much. The devil's been after me. The only reason the devil succeeds is because we allow him to. Think about that. The only reason the devil succeeds is because we allow him to. Conquerors defeat, right? If you're more than a conqueror, you have more than defeated. We are more than able to defeat the devil and his plans, not because of who we are, but because it is finished in Christ Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. We have the right, as the spiritual children of God Almighty, to say, it is finished. We need to learn this. We need to embrace this. We need to allow God to so totally change our way of thinking. I remember several years ago whenever he was dealing, saying, you know, I need you to get a new song, a new way of thinking. And as God was laying this message upon my heart, it's like, oh, God, now I understand what you're talking about. So often I look at myself as this natural person who has all these problems and struggles and everything. Yeah, the Apostle Paul talked about them. He said, yeah, you know, the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I don't do. He said, yeah, I'm a mess. He said, but God, it's okay. God's in control of it all. And then I came to see, how could Paul be that way? Because he's a spiritual being who understands it is finished. That we really are triumphing. Not just triumphing, but triumphed. Past, present, and future tense. We win because it is finished. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to be brief. Yeah, right. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ. He is a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Because it is finished. Oh, if you're here today, and you're like me, you struggle with some things in your life, once you understand one thing, we're not bound by them. We're not bound by them. If you have problems with anger or with lying or cheating or whatever it may be, that's old creature. The devil will come in and try and tell you, oh, you're not that good. You call yourself a Christian. Man, what if those other people seen what a hypocrite you are? Hey, once you belong to him. But because it is finished and you became a child of God, you became a new creature that's not subject to the old laws. All things are made new. And we need to take this and we need to claim this and say, God, I do not have to have this area of my life be so consuming upon my spirit. I am a new creature and I am not subject to that because all things have become new according to your word. And I want to walk in the newness of life, not the oldness of life. And you know what? He will help us to walk in that area. Why? Because it is finished. It is finished. It's the end of the conflict. Oh, we're still there and we're going to have to face some skirmishes, but it's over. The war is over. The devil just doesn't want to claim defeat. But that's okay. Because we're more than conquerors. And we are a new creature. He continues in verse 18. All things are of God. God, here's an area of my life I can't overcome, so I'm giving it to you because all things are of you. Deliverance from this is of you, and I am desirous of it, and I have a right to it. Why? Because it is finished. Hey, we have a right to not have to walk in the depths of sin trying to pull us down as Christians. We have the right to say, God, I want what is of you, not what is of the devil. Because all things are of God. Because it is finished. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And this is why we have these rights, young, these rights people. I almost called you young people and then I looked at Dave. That's for him not wanting to let me out of the row. church. We're giving the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us all these things and he's made us more than conquerors, not so we can walk around feeling so proud of ourselves that we're more than conquerors, but so we can reconcile others from the depths of sin back to the glorious grace of Jesus Christ, and that they can become more than conquerors. And that they can find that there is nothing that separates them from the love of Christ. Why? Because it is finished. We are able to do this and we are called to do this because it is our purpose in life. Our purpose in life is not to be some natural person working at a job. Our purpose is to be a spiritual being reconciling people to Christ as we're in that natural job. We are called to be the church. Triumphant, and victorious. To wit that God, in verse 19, was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For then we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he that hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, here's where it comes at, church. It's finished. Christ did everything so that we could rest in the completion of what he performed. The disciples looked at it and said, man, we're at the end. And Jesus said, no. You're at the beginning because it is finished. It is finished. The stronghold that Satan had, it's finished. The bangs and the bounds and the lies and the deceits and everything else that he could throw in your lives as the spiritual father of mankind because of sin, it was finished. The debt had been paid. Life was reigning supreme. The devil threw everything he could. What we'll do is we will come up with this. We will bind this man. We will seal him up in this tomb. Excuse me. We won't let him out. He looks at death and says, death, you keep him bound up. You're our last hope. But he who is life, who looked one day upon a pile of dirt and breathed life into it, looked at death and said, you can't hold me and you know it. As he walked right past him, entered into that body to live forevermore. Church, it is finished. We need to learn. I mean, really, don't just take what I say here today, but take this concept and let God expound on it in your life of what it really means to say it is finished. Because you are a spiritual being. I am a spiritual being that God is calling to greatness. Not to mediocrity, not to just success, but to greatness. To see the world transform because we are his ambassadors. Called to reconcile a world back to him. Satan will say, no, this is my time. According to the word, his time doesn't come until we're out of here. Amen. He is held until he which letteth, letteth. Until we leave planet Earth, he's a squatter. What are we going to do about it? Because what we're called to is the ministry of reconciliation. We are called to bring every last one to him. See, this is why God is raising us up in this day, in this age. Because there's going to be one last great ministry of reconciliation, because it is finished. I see now what I did not see even at the beginning of this year. I see now what I did not see definitely this time last year. I see more of what God is wanting to do in each and every one of our hearts and lives if we will allow Him to. If we will change from being a person, living life the best we can, to being a spiritual being, walking in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in a life where, yeah, we're going through the daily grind sometimes of work, of family, of sicknesses, of whatever else. But that's okay. Because what we are is we are a spiritual being in a natural body that God is going to minister to other people through. Friday was a really crazy day for me. We was out here helping Hannah decorate. And all of a sudden, this guy at the back door wants to know if he can change his socks. Sure, go for it. You know, I've had a lot of requests from people coming to church, whatever, they could change their socks. But, you know, hey, go for it. Well, I was getting ready to have to go up to Rockport, and so I'd walk back, I was talking to him, and the guy had been in jail down in Madisonville, served his time for a meth charge, and he was on his way north. I said, oh, how far north are you going? He said, I'm going north. I said, well, how far? He said, to the top. I said, well, there's a problem with that. He said, what's that? I said, you're not dressed for it. No. Secondly, you're going to make it up to the U.S.-Canada border, and they're not going to let you in. A, you don't have a passport, and B, they got the place closed down because of COVID. He goes, well, I guess I'll just go to the Great Lakes then. Think, okay. So he looks out the road. He says, so which way is it north, this way or that way? I said, neither. He said, what? I said, yeah, that's west, this is east. Oh. Well, how do I get north? I said, well, you can go to Evansville and work yourself up 69 and stuff. That's the interstate. Or start at Rockport, and you can either go on up through 66, on up through there a ways, then that's going to end up going east. Or there's 231. Kind of explained everything to him. You know, I was trying to get a feel for him on everything, and the guy was just having, you know, as he said, I'm just a hippie. That's how he describes himself. He says, I said, his name is Skyler. Remember Skyler in prayer. I end up giving him a ride to Rockport and shared with him the gospel and had a word of prayer with him and got him taken care of there. But as we were going, he said, you know, I wonder, how do you think I am? What do you think I'm like? I said, I'll tell you what I think you're like. So I think you're an adventurous young man who's had some problems in his past, who's got some questions about his future. I said, I'll tell you where you're going to find those answers, and that's in Jesus Christ. And he didn't shut me down, so I just kept on going. He wasn't ready to make a decision, but that's okay. Well, dropped him off. Dropped off there. He said, so what else in Rockport? I said, huh, Rockport. It's got two gas stations, post office. County jail. Said, oh, I don't need to go there. So the police station, I don't need to see them. I said, grocery store, hardware store. I said, there's a few other things. That's about it. He goes, no Walmart. I said, no, there's no Walmarts. He had just came from Owensboro. I said, there's two in Owensboro. He says, I'm not going back there. So that's south. I said, yeah, it's south. But a little later on, Laura and I came, and we needed to go down to Newburgh. And we were going through this housing development in Newburgh. And as I was driving, Laura said, does that lady need help? I said, what lady? I didn't see anybody. I was looking on the other side of the road. She said, there's a lady back there. She said, she's laying down on the pavement, and her husband's there, and they're looking at this vehicle. So we went back. Turned out the lady and her husband are watching their grandkids. The boy is probably about 4 or 5 years old and a baby in the house. And she had been somewhere, and she pulled up, and somehow she didn't get her car in park. And when she got out, it started rolling backwards. And she tried to do something or other, and anyhow, it knocked a mirror off of the other vehicle and knocked her down. And she's laying there trying to figure out what to do. And I got there, and she said, well, I got a really bad bump in my head. And says, I think the tire may have ran over my foot. And she says, what do I think you ought to do? I think you ought to just stay laying there. So I think you need to get checked out. I know you don't want to, because if I was there where you're at, I wouldn't want to get checked out, but you need to get checked out. Well, long story short, got an ambulance coming, and before I got a chance to, the Lord said, well, would you mind if we have a word of prayer? He says, oh, I would love that. He says, I love Jesus with all my heart. And so we had a chance to pray for her. Now, I say all this because, you know, I knew I was going to be preaching about today, but God just kind of, you know, put the exclamation, says, Mark, this is what I'm talking about. I want you to be a spiritual being first. I want you to be looking on how I am trying to operate in the spiritual realm. In a natural world. Church, how is God wanting to move in your life today? And how is he wanting to equip you today? That you can look at it and say, hey, that area of my life is finished. I'm now moving forward. I'm going to be the spiritual being. It can be in your family. It can be in loved ones. It can be physical. It can be every area of your life. Can we today embrace this concept? Embrace this decision. It is finished. Whatever I was living, however I was living, before I walked through those doors today, before I turned on the streaming today, whatever, is finished. It is finished. I'm a new creature. I am going to accept being a new creature and embrace it today. I'm going to embrace being more than a conqueror today. Because everything else outside of Jesus Christ doesn't matter. And in my life, I'm going to look ahead in a spiritual standpoint and say, it is finished. And God is going to take care of it. And proclaim it. And live it, believing it. Believing it in that standpoint of you're ready to get on the motorcycle Pastor talked about a few weeks ago. In the barrel, you know what I'm talking about. Church, now's the time to learn this. Now's the time to embrace this. Because God is getting ready to bring life to those who embrace what he's trying to teach us. Pastor.
Would our worship team come down, please? Hallelujah, Lord. Well, we have to make decisions. Everybody's got to make a decision that they're going to leave the past behind them and they're going to reach forth to that which lies ahead. And then you've got to do something about it. If you can't decide which way is north or east or west, probably need to find out. Sometimes we don't understand that spiritually because we do not soul towards the spiritual. Here is an absolute truth from the Word of God. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap of the Spirit. But if we don't, we won't. To the extent that we sow spiritually, we will reap of the Spirit. If we sow our lives to the natural man, to our comfort and convenience, That's what we're going to reap. It's not good. Stand together with us. I want to encourage you this morning, not just to make a decision. I want to encourage you to talk to God about what decision you should make. Okay? Lord, what kind of change do you want me to make in my life? It's really, really important. Brother Holbrook, what when's work days up at camp?
This Thursday evening starts. Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
Thursday evening, Friday and Saturday.
And what do people need to bring? Any kind of particular tools or anything? Or
strong back
and a willing mind?
Yeah.
Okay, and you can use both men and women, right? Because they have a lot of cleaning to do. Camp is right around the corner. And they need help up there, it being not having camp last year because of the virus really set things back. So if any of you can go, okay, go up there Thursday night or Friday, Saturday, they can use your help. Even if you go and work for 2 or 3 hours, if you can help, it'll help give you a vision. And you're cooking for everybody Friday? Okay, now what time are they eating? Right. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Hey, seriously, we need a lot of work done up there. And she's serious about the cooking, too, because I've heard her talking about it. And so if you go up there and you find out, you know, you're going to go up there for a couple hours and work, then you find out, wow, we've got a lot to do here and you want to keep working. Okay, you still have food to eat. Now, let's go back to, we really need to make some decisions. Brother Mark was talking about Memorial Day in our nation and what Ronald Reagan said, that our freedoms are just one generation away from losing them all. I heard someone say a couple times this past week, not the same person, it was on the news, that our democracy is strong enough to overcome the move that's going on in the world, the cancellation culture, there are all kind of new things coming that, and it's trying to redo history, new language, new education as such. But that is not true. It is not a true statement that our democracy is strong enough to overcome the opposition. The man was correct in that we have faced all kind of opposition and democracy has overcome it. The only reason that democracy has ever overcome the things that we've gone through, be it world wars or be it all kind of junk that we went through in the 60s and 70s and et cetera, is because we're still a godly nation. Democracy, being a republic, will not work without Christianity. It will never work. Our nation will not survive what's going on without a spiritual turn towards God. We might think, hey, it's always worked out. It will not work. It was not designed. Democracy was not designed to work without God. It was designed because of God. And it was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, not just religion, not just God. Our democracy was founded on Jesus Christ being the Son of God, and people serving God through the work of Jesus Christ. And even people that were not Christians agreed to that. But democracy will not survive what we're facing without Christianity. And you say, preacher, that concerns me. Well, we're almost a generation away from being concerned. We need to seek God's face for our country, or your children are not going to know what you know. They're not going to know because they are being indoctrinated all over the country. And colleges, universities, high schools, even down to elementary school, They're being indoctrinated about things that are not true. And so, wake up, folks. Hello, wake up. I'm sorry if I woke you up, you know, while you're standing there. Sometimes we get good at sleeping while we're standing. I read about this person that was a runner, and they were really good at running, and was so determined, they actually went to sleep running. They woke up running. They woke up and they were still running. What's our problem? I mean, seriously, they really did. They said they were so determined to set a new record, and they did, that they were running and went to sleep running and woke up and they were still running. That's called determination, friend. We need to be that determined. We need to wake up and realize we need to seek the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, I ask you, O God, to help every one of us, Lord, that hears this plea today, Lord, to not be lulled into this thing that the devil has brought upon us, and that the Holy Ghost warned us ahead of time is going to come an indifference, a Laodicean attitude, and kind of a sleepy thing, Lord. Help us, O God. Lord, we would do, as the Scripture says, to stir ourselves and to seek you, Lord God. Lord, for everything that needs to be done has been done on the cross, the empty tomb. Lord God, we are going to be victorious in the things of the kingdom of God. In the things of the kingdom of God. Lord, you will win. This nation may not stand, but you will win. And Lord God, help us to be on that side, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be seeking you. Bless these folks, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that every person here before they leave here, before they walk out these back doors, would take a moment and ask you, Lord, what is it you want to change in my life to be doing what you want me to do? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Worship team, if you would, please. Hey, this altar.